one of the members of the church was decided to have their mom and dad, who is another member of the church, my treasurer and all that, a 50th wedding anniversary party yesterday, and Kimberly had to help get that together, and our son was in from college, and he'll leave about the house about 2:30, and I hated him to be home and go back to school without us, and I told her, I said, why don't you just stay? So anyway, she stayed. And I am going to sing this. I haven't sung in I don't know how long. Singing is one of my favorite things, but as you can tell, my voice is, I'm having issues with my voice. I've always had a little bit of an issue, but it always cleared up, and I've been like this for months. So now I'm going to a ear, nose, and throat specialist on the 26th, and they're going to run the light down to make sure that I don't have any issues in there. But I haven't sung at all, but my voice is getting better because they changed my allergy medicine, so it's better now than what it was. But I'm going to try. And the title of this song is, In Times Like These. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Does that count against my sermon time? All right. So we're on the clock today, and so I'm going to make sure I keep on time. I think I'm going to try to give Todd enough time to get all of his notes in. Huh? Oh, yeah. I got you, 10:20. I got you. I do appreciate the opportunity to be here and do thank the church for all of their graciousness. And whoever put together the little trail mix, I want to know if that one pretzel was covered in pumpkin spice, because it's pretty tasty. Anyway, so I was intrigued by that last night. I was trying to figure that out. But anyway, all of those things that were provided, we really appreciated, and we're always thankful to get to come here. And this is sort of like a homecoming for me, too. When I get to Catlettsburg, I think I'm home. Of course, I was raised in the South Shore, and my sister still lives there, and my mom still lives in Portsmouth. So when I'm here, I feel like I'm at home. So I'm glad to be here, and again, like I said, I feel like I'm home. So it's good to be with you. My song that I picked today, songs and hymns are some of my favorite things. I love hymns, and I love to sing hymns, and the reason is that brings back thoughts to your mind, and they bring comfort to you. And several songs that I love, like Jesus Is All the World to Me. That was my dad's favorite song. And They sang it at his funeral. We sang it every Sunday at Salem Missionary Baptist Church. We sang it every Sunday morning the whole time I was a member there. And then when my father passed away, he wanted that song sung at his funeral. And what a great testimony for me to have that my dad says, Jesus is all the world to me. And so that song has always been a comfort to me. And, of course, it always puts me in memory of my dad. And then, no, there's all kinds of other songs, but sort of pick out a hymn to formulate a message from. You know, it was a difficult task because, not really difficult, but which song do you want to choose? And so the song that I picked today was In Times Like These. And the lady that wrote this song, her name was Ruth K. Jones. She wrote this song during World War II. And it says, during World War II, Ruth K. Jones wrote the words and music to this simple yet powerful gospel song. Mrs. Jones, a housewife, related that in the middle of her busy day, she received spiritual inspiration. She wrote what God told her to write down. The song was written in response to the daily stresses and strains of a woman and her family living through the uncertainty of worldwide upheaval and war. Then on the notes here, does that sound familiar? The very first time I ever heard this song that I can remember was shortly after September the 11th. Of course, everyone knows what that day was like. And the next church service, you know, was an interesting time. What was we going to do? What was we going to say? And I remember Kimberly told me, she said, Mark, I've got a song to sing. And she opened up and she sang In Times Like These. And what a comforting thought. You know, we live in perilous times. And we're going to read that in just a few moments. At that point that we were living in perilous times, we didn't know what was going to happen. What was going to come of the World Trade Center tragedy? What was that going to lead us to? Where were we going to go in life? What was the world? What was going to happen in the world? All of us were shaken in mind, really. We were concerned about what was happening and what was going to happen. And then you hear that song, In Times Like These, I Have an Anchor. In times like these, I have a Savior. That is so comforting to us, for us to know that no matter what's going on in the world, in times like we're living in, we need a Savior. And we look at the worlds that we live in today and the things that's going on in our world today, and we need that song just as much, don't we? We need to know who Jesus is. We need to know the Word of God is true. We need to know that this world is under God's control and under His sovereignty and His providence is orchestrating the events that happen every day. In times like these, we need these truths. So today in my message, I'm going to share with you the scriptures that were the foundation for this song. First off, we go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I know these are common scriptures to you. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. You know, that's not in my notes, but just think about that. Out of all of those things that Paul was facing, the Lord delivered him. Never forget, behold your God. that holds the oceans and the seas in His hands. He is the one that can deliver you. Yea, and all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So think about this. In perilous times, in times like these, perilous times shall come, it says. And there is no doubt that we live in those times. Perilous means hard to bear, troublesome, and dangerous. It can also be, there's used one other place, and the word means fierce. So fierce times are going to come. Troublesome times are going to come. You know the song that says, "Troublesome times are here, filling men's heart with fear. Freedoms we all hold dear now is at stake." Those times are here, right? And we know that. We know those troublesome times are here, and we know that they're filling men's hearts with fear. But the thing that should comfort us is that the presence of those perilous times shouldn't surprise us. As we look out our door and we flip on the TV and we watch the news and we look at all the things that's going on, they shouldn't surprise us. As we look at the events that's going on around the world, none of those events should surprise us. Because we look at the Word of God, we look at what God has promised us, we look at what it tells us those days are going to be like. As you look at those characteristics that it describes here in 2 Timothy 3, about all the... For men shall be lovers of their flesh and of their own selves and covetous and all those things. As you look out at the world and you see those things in people, it shouldn't surprise you. Because the Word of God says it's going to come. Now, we may not enjoy the fact that it's coming in our lifetime. We may not enjoy the fact that it's here today. But it shouldn't surprise us. Because the Word warns us. But I also want you to think about this. How do the days that we live in today compare to the Dark Ages? How do the days that we live in today compare to the Old West? If I ask you the question, where would you have rather lived? Would you rather live in the Old West, or would you rather be alive today? Do you think the days were worse in the Old West as far as immorality and murder and thieving and all of that? Was it worse in the Old West? Or is it worse today? I think they were probably just as bad then as they are now. I mean, so we got to keep that in mind. Now, the attitudes and hearts of people might be different. The Christian influence may not be as strong as it was then. But the presence of troublesome times shouldn't surprise us. Because lost people are going to act like lost people. Lost people are going to sin. And so when lost people sin, it shouldn't surprise us. When we look at the times that's going on around us and we look at the events that's going on in our world today, we shouldn't be surprised. Someone mentioned the UNESCO vote where they voted against Israel anyway. You know, that shouldn't surprise us that the world is turning its back on Israel, that Israel has very few allies. It shouldn't surprise us if the United States begins to break her ties with Israel. At some point, the world doesn't force the United States to break their ties with Israel. That shouldn't surprise us. Why? Because we know in order for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Jesus, in order for Jesus to come and defend Israel, all the armies of the world have to surround Israel, right? Though all the world has to have turned their back completely on God and Israel needs to stand alone, isolated from the rest of the world. It shouldn't surprise us when we see that happen. Now, we may not want it to happen, but it shouldn't surprise us because we know those things are supposed to come to pass. Think about this also. We know that at some point, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and we know that there's going to be a one-world government, and we know that you know, the mark of the beast and all those things. How bad does the world have to be? What does the condition of the world have to be in order for all the world to follow one man? You know, the conditions have to be fairly bad. So when we begin to see these things to come to pass, we shouldn't be soon shaken in mind by those things. We shouldn't be troubled by those things. We need to understand that those things are the things that come to pass. So what's holding back the wrath of God on this world? What's holding back the God bringing judgment? Well, in the events of the last days coming full circle, Genesis chapter number 15 and verse number 16, you don't have to turn there. It says this, "But in the fourth generation they shall come hither, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." God was waiting on the iniquity of the Amorites to be full before He brought full judgment upon them. Why is God waiting to bring judgment upon this world? He's waiting on the wickedness, the cup of iniquity, to be full until the world's iniquity is complete. And so He's allowing men really to show their hatred for Him. And we know that perilous times are going to come until what it says in Revelation 17:4, that the woman comes with a golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. My point is this. Perilous times are going to come. And they will continue until the timeline of God is accomplished. We need to know that. We need to understand that. Everything that's happening today is happening according to God's timeline. None of these events are outside of God's control. All the events of this world are happening just as God has seen it. God has foreordained His plan to operate in this world. And so we should not be surprised. We should not be soon shaken in mind. We should not be afraid. We just need to trust the Lord. Because remember, yea, and all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's a promise too. We love the promise that He's coming again. We love the promise that He comforts us in all of our tribulation. We love the promise that God shall supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. We love all of those promises. Yea, and all they that live godly shall suffer persecution is one of His promises too. And we're not so fond of that one. But it is a promise. So what do? In times like these, we remember we have a Savior. In times like these, we know we need the Bible. We need to get to the Word of God. Now, so how do we handle that? Knowing that the perilous times are upon us. Knowing that we're facing these dangerous times, what do? Well, what did Paul tell Timothy? If you look over there in verse number 14 of 2 Timothy 3, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." What should we do as we're facing those perilous times? What do we do as we look out and we see the world beginning to turn exactly according to, or you look at the world and you see them in 2 Timothy chapter number 3? What do? As we see the world aligning itself with what Paul tells us will be the characteristics of the last day, what do? We do the same thing that Paul told Timothy to do. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing this, that they are found in the Holy Scriptures. You see, verse 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Know the Holy Scriptures. Know, first of all, what they are. It is the Holy Scriptures. It is the Word of God. We all believe all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it is God-breathed. What you have before you is the God-breathed Word of God. This is God's Word to you. And so know them. Know those words that are able to make you wise unto salvation. Know that they are the Word of God. Realizing that the Word of God, the Scriptures, are given to us to enlighten us, to allow us to see, to look really into the future, and know what's coming about, and to know that God has told us, so we know that God has prepared a place for us, and God has prepared a way for us, so the Scriptures are given to us to enlighten us and to encourage us. Remember, Paul also said, "For our light affliction is but for a moment." And so even though we're facing the perilous times, we know that the Scripture says that our light affliction is but for a moment. That in comparison to what we're going to enjoy in eternity, it's very light. And so we can find strength and we can find comfort in the Word of God, because what the Word of God is and the confidence and the assurance that that the Word of God gives us. Now, I also want you to understand what it says, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." I want to talk about that, "hath been assured of," for just a second. It's one thing to know something, and it's another thing to be assured of. The word assured there is the word pistou, which means to make faithful, to render trustworthy, to be firmly persuaded. As you see the perilous times coming, you need to be firmly persuaded in the things that you have been taught, in the things that you have been learned, at your place in this world, and the place that the Word of God has in your life, and the place that the Holy Spirit has in your life, and how the Holy Spirit is leading you, and how that you know what you know, and that allows you to be standing on a solid rock, so that you're not shaken in mind, which we'll look at in just a little bit. But you know that you're assured and you're confident and you're not easily persuaded. And even though the things are going on in the world, and even though the world looks like, what are we going to do next? And I don't know how things are around your area, but around my area, people are saying, I don't know what we're going to do. What are we going to do if that one gets elected? What are we going to do if that one gets elected? You know, people are, I mean, they're throwing their hands up and they don't know what to do. You know what you do? You get in your Word. You look at the Word of God. You be confident in the things that you have been taught and know that what God's Word says is true and be assured of it. Don't just have a knowledge of it, but to be assured of it is to put practical application in your life and make it sure in your life so that you know that you know that you know that you know and you're firmly persuaded. You see, when you are fully persuaded, you will apply the truths of God's Word to your life. And remember, God's Word is given to us to encourage us as we are facing these perilous times. God did not leave us alone. God did not leave us without a witness. God did not leave us without knowledge of what was going to come. He told us, He laid it out there in front of us, what it was going to be like when those perilous times were upon us, what we are to do. We need to know that. We need to be confident. And we need to know how God tells us to handle the perilous times as they come. I begin to think of the things, to make a list of things, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Well, that would probably be a good exercise. Sit down and think and make a list of the things that you have learned. Now, of course, I had to pare that list down that I could come up with, but let's look at some things. And a list maybe to encourage you. First of all, this earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What a confident thing for us to know that this world is not Satan's. This world is not the United States. This world is not Russia's. This world is not the property of ISIS. None of those are controlling what is going on in this world. God is. God is. This is His world. And I don't know about you, but that encourages me. And I know this, that none of those powers, even our own United States, can go any farther than God chooses to allow it to go. As a matter of fact, just today I was reading about Belshazzar and how that he lost his kingdom, the handwriting on the wall, and they sent to Daniel, "What's that mean?" And Daniel said, "You've been waiting in the balance and find wanting. Your kingdom's going to be taken from you." And that night, that very night, God said, "It's over. You're done. He's gone." You see, All the kingdoms of this world are underneath God's power and God's control. So it's encouraging to us, the thing that we have learned, that this earth is the Lord's and He's in control of it, which leads us into the next thing. This world operates according to the providence of God. God's government over His creation. The plan that God had for this world before He spoke this world into existence. God had His plan for this world and everything that's happening today, God had already ordained, set up His providence before He spoke this world into existence. Before He said, let there be light, and there was light, God knew what was happening today. And His providence was in control of it. So that's an encouraging thing to me, to know who God is, that this world is His, and that He's operating it according to His will. The perilous times are going to come. But then also it's encouraging for me to know that Christ redeems sinful men. That's encouraging to me to know that and you have to quicken who are dead in trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus. By grace you are saved. That encourages me because I know that God quickened me and made me alive. And I know that I'm His child. And I know that I have eternal life. Here's the next promise. I give unto you eternal life and you shall never perish. Never perish means go out of existence. No matter what happens to this body, I'll never go out of existence. I have the eternal life that God gives. Here's the next thing. The Lord is coming again. The Lord is coming again. We also know that the son of perdition must be revealed, don't we? But God told us it was going to happen. An encouragement thing is that Christ is coming again. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Now, I've made reference to this a couple of times. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our soon gathering together unto Him." So He's trying to encourage you that the Lord is coming again. But listen, "that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand." Now, again, He's making reference to the fact that they thought the day of Christ was already at hand. But He didn't want them to be soon shaken in mind. He wanted them to know the truth. He wanted them to be able to know the truth about what was happening. Here's the comfort for me and you. God has given us His Word, so we won't be soon shaken in mind. So when we see the events that's going on in the world, it won't cause us to be afraid. It won't cause us to say, "Oh no, what am I going to do now?" No, I know who God is. I know this is His world. I know what's coming on. And I know what He's promised me, that He would be with me. And that one day He's coming to take me home to be with Him. I don't have to worry about what's going on in this world. I don't need to be soon shaken in mind. In times like these, I've got a Savior. In times like these, I've got a Bible. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. You see, He told the Thessalonians, and I know you all know this, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Listen, we all need to be comforted by the knowledge that we can gain from the Word of God. And then we need to be assured of those things. One last thing I want to mention about before I go on to the final point is that we need to remember 2 Timothy 3:17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As you study the Word of God and you learn the Word of God and you depend upon the Word of God, you're completely furnished. Everything you need is right there. Don't be shaken in mind. Recognize you have a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. That's the first scripture that helped the writer of the song to write. The conclusion is found in Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 19. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 19. This is the other thought found in a song. And this is the truth for us. Verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. We have an anchor for our soul. We have a hope in Jesus Christ that is an anchor for our soul. Recently, I preached from Psalm 28, and in Psalm 28, it tells us about David looking unto his rock, and the commentators talking about that said that David was remembering the granite mountains of Mount Sinai. And the confidence and strength that he could have. I wish I had a picture for you so you could see those mountains. And a granite mountain. If you've ever been to Stone Mountain, Georgia, there's a granite mountain there. But a picture of strength it has. So David, as he was thinking about God and saying, God is my rock, he was thinking about the granite mountains of Sinai. He knew that he could hide in that rock and find strength and find protection. As a matter of fact, the word that's translated rock there is only used in reference to God. It's never used in reference to man. H.B. Charles, who was a pastor, gave an illustration in a message that I listened to not too long ago. And a boy was in maybe he was kayaking. I don't know exactly where he was at, what he was doing, but the kayak capsized and he got thrown out of the boat. And he was in a raging river and he was in the rapids. And he clinged on, he grabbed a hold of a rock. And they tried to get to him all night long, and they finally gave up, and they said, we'll try to get to him the next morning. And the next morning they went, and they made it to him, and they got him out of the river, and they brought him, and they said, how did you make it? How did you survive? Weren't you cold? He says, oh yeah, I was cold. Weren't you shivering? He says, oh yeah, I was shivering. Weren't you afraid? Oh yeah, I was afraid. I thought I was going to die. They said, well then how did you make it? When that water was crashing against you, and then as your muscles were growing weak and your thoughts were, I don't know if I'm going to survive. How did you survive? He said, because the rock never moved. I was clinging to the rock, and the rock never moved. Here's the truth for us today. The rock in our lives is not moving. That rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. That rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Listen, does your anchor hold and grip the solid rock of Jesus? Well, if it does, you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be soon shaken in mind. Remember, God cannot lie. Remember, God gives you strong consolation. We have fled for refuge to lay upon the hold, the hope set before us. That rock is Jesus. Our hope is sure, not because of who we are, but because our rock is Jesus. Our hope is sure, because not because the world is going to be a better place, but because our rock is Jesus, and He's going nowhere. John Gill in this Scripture said, the saints often need consolation by reason of sin, Satan, and the world. It is the will of God that they should be comforted. By what? Because their hope is sure and steadfast. The anchor of their soul is Jesus. And I want you to see that today. I want you to understand, perilous times are upon us. And in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need the Bible. But I'm thankful today, in times like these, I have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And He is the anchor of my soul. And I'll not be moved. And whatever comes to pass, it's all happening according to His plan. And all I have to do is follow His Word and depend upon Him. And even though those fearful thoughts may come in my mind, I can remember who He is, and I can hold on to Him, and I will not be overcome. So we can be thankful today because our rock is Jesus. This is one of the reasons that I love songs and I love hymns, because songs bring comfort to the mind in the midst of strife in life. So when you begin to be fearful and thinking about what's happening in the world, just remember in times like these, sing that little song and let it bring confidence and assurance to you because you know who Jesus is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,